It's my privilege and honor to introduce our guest to you today. Thank you for coming out and worshiping with us. I hope it's inspiring to you guys. Andy Collins is the director of North Central Indiana Teen Challenge, and he's going to come and share their program a little bit with us, and then I think that we're going to get a chance to hear from a guy or two or three or whatever they decide. But they're just going to lead us in worship at this point, and so be blessed.
Amen. How's everyone doing this morning? This is the early clan, and we got a full house. You are the ones who like to wake up early and worship the Lord. I love you guys. Hey, it's an honor to be here. It's a distinct privilege, I count it, to be in your midst this morning. And I see some friends and some faces of some people that I recognize that have come out to visit us in Elkhart, Indiana. And just want to start off with a brief little history. And don't be ashamed or embarrassed if your hand has to go up here. But how many of you would consider yourself not very familiar with the ministry of Teen Challenge? Wow. So we came here for you this morning, didn't we? Amen. That is awesome. It is awesome. I count us, and now this is a very very biased statement, but I consider us one of the best-kept secrets in Elkhart County, okay? The reason I say that is because God, over the last almost 6 years now, has been doing an incredible work in setting men free from the grips of addiction to either life-controlling substances, drugs, alcohol, mindsets. There's all sorts of stuff that God is doing, but Teen Challenge did not originate in Elkhart County. Teen Challenge has been in existence actually for 58 years now. And I don't know if some of you guys have heard of Reverend David Wilkerson. Reverend Dave Wilkerson he's an old-timer. He actually graduated into glory. He's where we were all trying to get, right? And he preceded us just a matter of a few years ago. But Reverend Dave Wilkerson, 58 years ago, was filled, just gripped in his heart for what he was seeing at that time in New York City. There was a famous murder trial that was taking place of a gentleman, a young teenage boy named Michael Farmer. And Michael Farmer had some physical disabilities, and he was walking his friend home one day. Well, he actually was in a wheelchair, but he was accompanying his friend home one day, and on his way back, there was some gang members who had jumped him, and they had assaulted him to the point of death in just a senseless murder. And unfortunately, that stuff happens all too often nowadays, but back in the day, it actually garnered the attention of the national media, and there was a big article at the time that was released by Time magazine. And Dave Wilkerson was, in this season, God was setting him up for something pretty spectacular. He didn't understand it at the time, didn't know the depth or the magnitude of what this was going to look like in his life. But what he did is he started to get convicted in his own heart over the amount of time he wasted in front of the television every night. And from what I understand, he would watch the Late Show or something, which back in the day was probably a lot more wholesome than it is today. Just saying. But at the end of the day, it was a couple hours he would spend, and just maybe it was his unwind or relaxed time. Maybe it was his time. But God began to encroach upon that his time and said, "Dave, would you put your TV up for sale? Sell it. And I want you to devote the same amount of time that you sit in front of that box. I want you to devote that same amount of time in prayer to me." Can you imagine if we all did that? Can you imagine what God could do with this room full of people devoted in prayer? Can you imagine that? And Dave did. I'd like y'all, I know pastors do this a lot. I don't tend to always do it, but I've been having fun with this lately in the last few weeks. Everybody say 19 days. 19 days. Okay, I'm going to make you do it again, okay? On the count of three, I want to hear it. 19 days.
19 days.
That's how long it took the Lord to put a burden inside of Dave Wilkerson's heart to go to New York City and help those at the time teenagers that were stuck in the gangs and the violence, that were trapped in the grips of drug addiction, heroin at the time was just really coming on the scene in a powerful way. And at the time, the mayor of New York City declared that the heroin addict was completely incurable, that he was hopeless, that there was no hope for a heroin addict. And something inside Dave Wilkerson's heart didn't agree with that. And that something was the spirit of truth. Amen? Said, there's no way. These addicts haven't met my God. And so he went not to start a teen challenge. Dave Wilkerson didn't go to begin a program or a ministry, a residential facility. He didn't go. He just went in simple response to the mandate to go help those boys. I kind of joke around sometimes. Do you know how the Holy Spirit speaks? He told him, he said, I want you to go help those boys. Pretty plain English, huh? Go help those boys. And so he went. He didn't know what he was doing, but he went. And the story is absolutely fascinating. There's actually some condensed versions of the cross and the switchblade. They're kind of a first come, first serve. I don't know how many we brought with us this morning, but you might want to leave a couple for second service. If you don't, listen, early bird gets the worm, right? That's what they say. It is what it is. I suppose the supply is limited. But in the cross and the switchblade, it really depicts in accurate detail the birthing and how God used Dave Wilkerson's obedience, just his conviction, just to go. And what he did was, I'll share this briefly, he'd set up evangelism crusades, and he'd go and he'd flip a milk crate over or get just a little something to stand on top of, and he'd begin to proclaim the word of God fearlessly, boldly, with great conviction, that God can heal the broken heart, that God can take the addiction, the poison out of a man, and he can set him free for life. He would preach this, and he would preach with great fervency and just great conviction. He believed it. He believed that God is a healer. How many of y'all believe that God is a healer in this house this morning? Amen? God is a healer. And there's no such thing as a death sentence to a drug addiction unless that person desires to remain in that. I tell you what, he would see men at the time, teens, really gripped by this message that he would preach of freedom. And they'd come down and they would turn in their knives and they'd turn in their weapons and they would bend a knee to Jesus and they would accept the Lord in that place and they would say, God, I desire you to set me free. And Dave would try to connect them with local pastors in that area. He at the time was living in Pennsylvania. And what he would see is he'd only go like once a month or so. And when he went back the next time, a month later or however long, he'd flip the milk crate over in the same neighborhood and he'd preach the same message. And he would see the same people coming down and turning in their weapons all over again and turning in their dope all over again. And so God began to use that to speak to his heart and say, these men need a refuge. They need a safe haven. They need a place. They need a house outside of the world where they can begin to this whole process of not just detox, but of actually introduction to the glory of Christ and how God and by his spirit can set a man free. They need a place. They were going back home. They had made that one-time profession, and it was sincere. It was genuine, but they couldn't do it in their own homes. They couldn't do it. They're dysfunctional homes, I'm sure. And they would eventually get sucked into the gangs again, and they couldn't get out, and they would get the same stuff, and they just remain in that place. And that is the very thing that God used to birth the ministry of Teen Challenge. And so it's evolved today, or it's progressed, I should say, into a full residential facility. We have centers now. I had the privilege of being in Honduras Teen Challenge in Central America. I just came back last week, and I was down there seeing God setting men free all across the world. There's now, we're in 117 countries. There's over 1,100 centers now in the world, with over 200, about 240 some in this country. And that's, now when I say Teen Challenge, that's the name of it. For us, it's a little bit of a misnomer because we're an adult men's center. There's very few teens among you today on our end. But there are adolescent boys centers, there's adolescent girls centers, there's adult men's centers, there's adult women centers, there's women with young infants, mothers who are addicted to a substance. They don't want to lose custody of their children. They want to grow together. They don't want to see them go off into the system and get lost, and they don't know what to do. Their center's now popping up. There's a husband and wife center. Let's say mom and dad are both addicted, and they need help. They want to walk through this journey together. Their center's now trying to meet pretty much every demographic. And so just want to apologize quickly for the misnomer on our end as far as we're concerned. But back at our table, Andy right here, could you wave your hand? Andy's our staff member. I'm Andy. He's Andy. We're kind of the Andy and Andy show today, okay? All right. So you're going to start calling you Andrew or something, huh? He will be at a table out back here in the foyer afterwards as soon as the service is dismissed. And we'd just love to know more about you. We'd love to get some information from you so we can send you. We don't ask for money through our mailers. That's never something we've done. My wife, who's right here, Mary, she's she's my rock. She's my my supporter. She's phenomenal. And she does a great job of putting these newsletters together, if I might say myself. And we, every other month, we just send out these mailers to you, give you an updated progress, a little devotional on the back. And if you'd like to sign up for our mailing list, we'd love to put something in your hand, just give you an update of where we're at, what we're doing. But most importantly, in my opinion, there's a purple flyer. Well, it's purple, white, whatever. And this is our informational flyer. This just really states who we are, what we do, how we do what we do, our mission statements, our purpose for being, and kind of the method. It describes a little bit, it gives a little bit of statistics of some success stories and some different stuff of that nature. So just by a show of hand, how many of y'all know somebody? You might even have to know somebody who knows somebody, but how many of y'all know somebody who is right now battling an addiction to a substance, whether drugs or alcohol, by a show of hands? Look around, you guys. Look around, okay? This is something that I'd like for you to grab one of these if you could and just tuck it in your Bible, put it in a desk, put it in your car, in your glove box, put it somewhere. And when you get that phone call or when that, you know, I hope it's not in your own family, but sometimes it is. Many of us have loved ones who are struggling right now through some really difficult things, but I would just recommend, even though we're a men's center, don't be put off by that. If they, you know, you can let them know, hey, I'm giving you a flyer to a men's center, but if you call them, they'll refer you gladly to whatever your need is. We'd love to do that. So I just want to, again, remind you that there's a table back there, and we might even give you a pen if you're really cool, okay? North Central Indiana Teen Challenge pen at that. It's made in China. God bless it. Yeah. It'll work for about 5 days, all right? lastly, save the date card. We do have a banquet coming up October 8th, and it's a table sponsorship and all that kind of stuff. There's some details, but if you would like to be a part of our banquet this year, we've just grown every year. Last year, we had over 700 people come out, and just an incredible night. We feed you. We love on you. You get to hear testimonies of the men. You get to experience what you're going to experience this morning, but on a larger scale. Share with you a little bit of what God's doing, the vision, and we're excited. So that just wanted to put that out there. Maybe the pastors might get a table or two, and you can ask them, and they can pay for it, and you can just come and eat. That'd be great, you know? I just did that, yeah. I just set you up, brother. Again, thank you for allowing us in this morning. We just feel really honored and privileged and gotten to know Pastor Jeff and his wife and the family and the kids. And love them. Just love them. Love your hearts. Love what you do. And know that God is working here in La Porte. And I've also had the privilege of coming to La Porte quite a bit recently throughout the last couple few years. And I just know there's such a need. And I actually remember, I have my dentist and orthodontist are here with me today. And this is where I'd come. They practice here in La Porte, and so in Michigan City. And I would come here sometimes, you know, every 6 weeks or however long they'd tell me to come. And it's just such a blessing to me. But I would drive through this. I'd drive right past this church every time I came to see them. And I remember looking over at this church. I remember specifically looking over and going, hey, there's a pretty decent church. I wonder who's all in there. And I wonder if they know that we're even around. I wonder if they know that we're within a drive of being a resource to them. And it's just so ironic that here we are today, and I'm inside this church now with all of you. And I don't believe that's a coincidence. I believe God was setting me up. Amen. Isn't that cool? Thank you, Jesus. So just to give you a really quick snippet, we have a 12 to 15 month in-house residential. So the government did a study not too long ago to determine what was the most effective way to, quote unquote, rehabilitate a person. And what they determined, this is again a quote unquote secular study, okay, done by the government, not a faith-based entity by any means anymore, unfortunately. And we won't get into politics right now. But what they determined was that the most successful, I mean, hands down, was long-term, residential, listen to this, faith-based. That's what the government concluded. That's what had the highest success rate for any program or any rehabilitation center, whatever. Now, I quickly have to divert and digress or go off into this little thing where I talk a lot about rehabilitation. It's rehabilitation, first of all, just so y'all understand, okay? And I'm not trying to split hairs or be whatever, but rehabilitation by its definition means to bring back to its original purpose or for its original use. So if you, some of y'all might have had surgery, might have needed some physical therapy, and then they send you to rehab, right? That's totally cool because you need your arm to be able to raise every time I ask you to raise your hand. And, you know, you need to be able to do these motions and these things, you know, for everyday life. So in that term, rehabilitation is totally great. But listen, what I know is that these men, including my own, I was homeless 8 years ago. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. And I didn't need rehab. I didn't need brought back to my original condition. My original condition is what got me there to begin with. What I needed was complete life transformation. I needed transformed, guys. I needed turned around, and these men need the same thing. And so, again, I understand the world calls it a rehabilitation center. I get that. But these guys, our logo, our slogan for North Central Indiana Teen Challenge is just simply three words, and it's life transformation happens. And the question is, will it happen for you? Will it happen for you? Is it for you? And I tell you, if you surrender your all to Jesus Christ and you ask him for grace, God will transform your life. Amen? How many of y'all needed your life transformed in this house this morning? Amen? Can we thank Jesus real quick for doing that? Amen. 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 So yeah, we do a lot of Bible study. We're in church all day long, every day. We walk through the Bible. We have a curriculum that's been developed by Teen Challenge USA over the last 58 years. The curriculum is really, the students have really been the ones who've created the curriculum over time. Dave Wilkerson didn't have a vision of starting a residential facility. He didn't know what he was doing. He just went in response. And then God, over the years, has really brought in his wisdom. And as we've sought the face of God for the future of the ministry and the vision to take it well into this century, we've asked God a lot of difficult questions. And how do we adapt, you know, to the needs? And the drugs these days are getting more intense, and the devil is throwing everything he has at us these days. And we understand that a program in itself is not sufficient to combat what's out there. And so a program, by in essence, has never actually been able to save the life of one individual, ever. Now, a ministry that focuses on Jesus Christ and the power that he has to set a man free, now we got something. And so we've tried to keep our hands open and say, God, what do you want to do with Teen Challenge as we grow? And how do you want to do what you do? And we've seen, again, a lot of, you know, it's hard when you're dealing with addicts, when you're dealing with men who have just had some of the hardest, difficult things take place in their life. And they're coming into this house, and we all live under one roof, a very small roof at that. And, you know, can I just shout out a little praise report real quick? We've been open in October, okay, so really quick, really soon here, it'll be 6 years since we've been opened. 6 years. We have never seen one fist fight since we've been open. I don't know if that really means much to you, but to me, that's a miracle, okay? there's been a little gnawing here and there, you know. There was a shove one time, I think. But listen, God is really protecting that house. And it's a safe haven. You're going to hear some testimonies here in a second, and you'll attest to the fact that it's a unique place. But one of the things, right before I handed over to a testimony here, we had just man after man that was calling to come into our center, and we had a 22-man center when we first opened up. We took an old building that was a Bayer company, the Bayer Aspirin. They used to have their headquarters in Elkhart, Indiana, and they pulled out some years back, and about 10 years ago or so, give or take, and a couple years after that, we came on the scene and renovated some of their building, and it had 22 beds, and, you know, we filled them up pretty quickly, and we began to turn people away, and it was very difficult. We began saying, I'm sorry, we don't have any beds. I'm sorry, we can't do it. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And so finally, I looked one day, and I said, where can we put another bed? And we found a place where there really shouldn't be a bed, but we put a bed there because I was just tired of turning people away. And so we became a 23-man center after that, just by virtue of the need. And then we filled the 23rd bed, and then the phones kept ringing and kept ringing and kept ringing, and God gave me a vision a few years ago. I was out in Colorado, and he just spoke mightily and powerfully. He told me he was about ready to move, and I don't know if y'all understand how powerful God can actually speak to you if you're tuned in, okay? But he told me that he was about to do something big, and so right while I was there, it's kind of a miracle story, but I got a phone call from a business owner here back in Elkhart who had come into some finances, let's just put it that way, a very successful business owner, a Christian man who also had a heart, and he said, I want to help you guys build a facility. And of course, he couldn't foot the whole bill, so we're fundraising as we speak, and we're doing different things, but guys, we're about 2 months, give or take, I don't know. From moving into a brand new, just came up from the ground up facility that God is providing for us. We're not going to owe a penny when we move in there. I know it. We're not going to owe a single penny when we move in there. God's already promised that. And instantly, we're going to go from, we had 23 beds and then 4 beds for staff and interns, which all those are full right now. So we're going to go from a 27, we have a gentleman coming in tomorrow. As a matter of fact, we'll have one open bed, and then that one's already promised, I believe, as well. So we're pretty much full, if you will. But we're going to go from a 27-bed facility to a 54-bed facility the second we walk in. Amen? And the cool part about that is that there's plans and there's vision for another 3 pods on the same center. And how many of y'all know that LaPorte alone could fill my center up overnight? Unfortunately. And so there's some more plans there to take us to the 96th bed, which would actually be just a little over 100 beds as we fill up the 54 and as we bring in back the teams and the construction crew and say, come on, let's keep going. So the vision is there. The need is there. The vision is there. Our God is here. Amen. And that's just a great thing. So we're a drop in the bucket, and we know that. But we're doing everything in our power to try to make a difference in our area, which now includes your area. And I'm just blessed to be here with you today. Jordan, you want to come up here real quick, please, and share your testimony, brother? Amen. Yes. Thank you.
Good morning, beloved. My name is Jordan. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm 34 years old. Let's see. I wasn't raised in a Christian household, although I did have very good parents, 3 younger sisters. I was raised with good morals. I was the happiest kid ever. Although, you know, I grew up with Asperger syndrome. As I went through school, you know, I was a weird kid. I was bullied a lot. I was diagnosed with other mental illnesses, bipolar depression. As I got older, one thing led to another. You know, I found solace in drugs. I started getting high. It started with two hits from a joint. And the enemy entered my life in a very powerful way. And one thing led to another. I started getting into very, very serious stuff, crime, drug crime, hardcore drug addictions to methamphetamine, heroin, pills, drinking, just all of the above. Corruption became my favorite hobby. And what I want to get to is I eventually came to Teen Challenge in Dallas. That's where I met Andy Collins. And all I knew is that I just want to feel normal. You know, I want to feel like I'm not messed up like all these doctors, my teachers, and all these people have always told me that I was. These lies from the enemy. And, you know, I believed them. I didn't know any better. You know, I was born into sin and cultivated by the very enemy of God. And when I went there at the ranch, and at this ranch in East Texas, I was finding peace for the first time in my life. You know, getting to know God and Jesus and starting to try to walk this thing out, you know, and my heart started to feel at peace and my mind at peace. And, you know, I had hope and I was learning to pray every day and worship and, you know, all these awesome things. I could feel the presence of God and it was awesome. But as I was there for about 6 months, and, you know, all the stuff that I had accepted into my life, the lies from the enemy and all these things, these addictions and the way they tore me up started to rise to the surface. You know, it started to come out again. And I, you know, the uncertainty and the depression and this rage that I had lived with for so long, and I didn't realize then, but it was God doing the real heart surgery, you know, and that it was the Lord in there flipping tables around and driving stuff out. I didn't get that because there were things that I was holding on to. And see, I've always been trapped in my own huge inner world, you know, like I grew up just, I wasn't your average kid. And so when it came time to deal with that, I just couldn't handle it. And I ended up leaving prematurely and right back into my mess. You know, I was just on this seek and destroy mission. You know, now I'm madder than ever because I think I'm mad at God because somehow it's like he's abandoned me. And, you know, I remember praying for stuff at Teen Challenge while I was there, you know, like when I was experiencing all this wonderful peace in my heart for the first time. You know, I was like, God, because my mom and dad, they didn't know the Lord or anything. So I would pray, you know, I'm like, God, you know, reveal yourself to my mom and dad, you know, so that they can pray every day and they can read the Bible and learn it. And anyway, so when I left and I'm back in my mess and I'm more deep than I ever have been in crime. I got into trafficking and networking drugs across a couple states, in and out of prison, mental institutions, secular rehabs, court ordered, and God had pursued me the whole time, you know, and it's crazy because I'm thinking I'm mad at him and that I'm just going to, I want to undo whatever he did in my heart because I've messed it up, you know, and I just felt like I could never get out of it. And then I remember at one of the darkest moments, I remember getting a text from my mom and she said, Jordan, I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but I'm praying for you and reading the Bible every day. So you see, this God, he is, I went back and forth for so long because I didn't understand that, you know, like cases like ours, man, it takes pain and a lot of ugly stuff that we have to look at and go through to get it out of us. You know, God's really doing some painful stuff on us. I mean, we let the enemy in. We expose ourselves to all kind of demonic activity, and it's just, it hurts a lot for us. You know, it hurts a lot of it's very painful. There's a lot of uncertainty, error, and but God was pursuing me. You know, I mean, he was showing up as I'm fighting against him. He is just showing up in miraculous ways. You know, as my criminal lifestyle is catching up with me, he's intervening miraculously, you know, in several ways for over like 5-year period until I got back in touch with Andy from Texas, you know, just broken. You know, I remember telling him in a text, man, I can feel hell's flames licking my feet. You know I knew the Lord, but if I died right now, I don't think it would be good for me. And I really believed that, you know, but at the same time, God is pursuing me so hard. So, it's crazy because I didn't even do much to pave the way. I had friends and family just working behind the scenes like crazy to get me here. And I remember my mom coming to my house one day and telling me, like, you're leaving tomorrow. And I'm like, what? Like, oh, man, you can't give me a few days, you know, like. I just surrendered right then. I'm like, okay, let's go. And I remember getting on a bus the next day going, God, if you can just keep me away from here for 5 years, you know, 3 in an emergency. But if I just, you know, I'm finally, now I've been here for about 11 and a half months, you know, and I've never walked this out this far. Every day is a new beginning. And what is awesome about this is I get to be free from the world because God's making me free from myself. You know, I just want to be like, kind of like how Gideon was. God could fit him like a glove and just send him wherever. You know, that's what I'm getting to experience now, pouring myself out. And all the people who prayed for me, my family, you know, like, I believe when I prayed at the ranch, you know, I think, because of my prayer, God made my mom a prayer warrior for me, you know, and it's awesome. And I don't have to run away anymore, you know, like I've had my ups and downs since the program, but I've made it through all those things that would send me running off the cross before, you know, and because I get to walk from victory, you know, I don't even have to do anything. This is not me doing it. God pursued me. He chose me to get to know him and be a vessel for his love, and that's just so awesome. So I'm persuaded that there is hope for anyone who is out there, any of y'all who have loved ones. They want freedom desperately. So I'm persuaded that God does love us. Even the ones that are out there, your family members, that are just, it seems like there's no hope, there is. Keep praying. Because in Hebrews 10:39, it says, you know, we are not those who shrink back and back into death, but we go on because we believe that this gospel saves our soul. Because faith is now the substance of what we hope for. You know, I mean, that's just awesome. That's where I'm at in my life right now. Thank you.
Amen. Y'all believe it? Tyler, come on up here, would you, brother? Can you welcome my friend Tyler? Yeah.
Hello, my name is Tyler Watkins. I'm from Brownsburg, Indiana. Early childhood was a weird haze. I grew up early childhood with my mom, who was never really around. She'd show up about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd be home alone. There was a lot of violence, a lot of drugs in that house. And about 8 years old, my dad took me out of that house. And I grew up with him and my stepmom in Brownsburg. Not a Christian family at all, but good morals. I grew up right. I'd say probably about early teenage years, I started kind of rebel because I was under so much strictness in my house because my dad didn't want me to turn out how my mom was, and I took off, and I got in a lot of trouble. I ended up finding my mom when I was about 18, 19 years old, and I kind of fell into the world that she's been in, and she introduced me to drugs, and I started to shoot up methamphetamines at that time, and she got me in a lot of trouble, and next thing you know, in and out of prisons after that. Spent a couple years in prison, got out. I ended up getting more heavy into my criminal activity and drugs, started to mess around with heroin. Next thing you know, I found myself OD'd and handcuffed to a bed in the hospital. Ended up going to jail. Leading up to me coming here, I had no clue I was coming here. I came here from jail, and just God worked through my parents and through the courts, and somehow I ended up getting OR'd from jail, and they gave me a chance to come here. And I wasn't looking for the Lord when I came here at all. I really wasn't wanting any change, but I just the presence of God was so strong in the house, and I just felt love for the first time in the house. And after a few weeks, I just couldn't run anymore, and I kind of surrendered to God. And, you know, just me being here in this church on this stage is a testimony on its own. I don't even really have to say anything, because I came from a hopeless, suicidal, criminal drug addict to just praising God, and that's just a testimony on its own. You know. I've spent most of my life pretty much emotionally attached from the world, and that's kind of how I started to know that God was really working on me, because I could start to feel things, starting to feel compassion for other people. And, you know, it's great. It kind of scares me, though, in a way, because, you know, I've never felt this before. I'm happy and sad at the same time, and it's weird. But, you know, the biggest thing for me that really, like, touched my heart is I thought I came here on my own for myself, and, you know, I started to notice how just me taking a step out and having faith in the Lord, how it touches people around you, it touches your family. I have a family that didn't really believe in God or anything, and now they're asking questions, they're praying for me, they're going to church, you know. Just one person stepping out can really, like, touch a lot of people, and that really touched my heart, and it just made me want to drive further. And, you know, now I have a passion to go out and help others. I don't want to miss the walk. I don't want to just be a Christian that just goes to church and keeps myself. I really want to do something with this when I get out of here. So, you know, I have a life. My life's verses have been changing throughout I got here. I'm really keeping it simple this time. Proverbs 25:4 is really what I've been looking at, and it's different in all the versions, but in mine it's, clean the impurities from the silver so the master worker can make something. And that really, it's really simple and powerful. You know, we need to purge the sin out of us so God can transform our lives. That's all I got.
I love it. I love it. It was, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was in the kitchen area of our center, and I knew one of our brothers in particular was struggling, and there were some things that had gone on, and he was just struggling through some moments, and I happened to at one point just look over, and down in the hallway, there's Tyler here with his hand on this brother, and they're just praying. And so what he's saying up here isn't just words. He means it. He's starting to feel, and he's compassionate towards others, and he knows that if he can lift a brother up to the Lord, there's hope, right? And so thank you. Guys, the message is always simple. It's just that Jesus Christ changes lives. Jesus changes lives. And I want to bless you today with a song. Our guys have practiced, and we're not professional singers, but we sing from the heart. I always say this, there's two kinds of songs that can be sung. There's a song because you have a gift perhaps in singing, and you can sing pretty much anything. Or, this is my case too, I love this part. Or, you've been freed. You've been freed, and you have joy, and you have a song to sing. And that's our case, amen? So, gentlemen, could you come make your way up here, please?
hearts together. There's no one higher than you. Redeemer, defender, our great and mighty Savior. There's no one higher than you.
I know you. Does anybody know this guy? Woo! Hey, here's the real question. Besides the front row, does anybody claim this guy? Yeah? Woo! There you go. I love you, Jill.
Love you, too. All right. Good morning, guys. I just want to start off by thanking all of you just for praying for me and just really fighting this fight with me, you know? Mm. And, I can honestly say it's not much of a fight anymore.
Hallelujah.
So a little bit about myself. I'm Joe. I'm 23 years old, and I'm from LaPorte, Indiana. I grew up in this church. You guys don't know me. So growing up, I had a great childhood. My dad was a pastor, so I kind of knew who God was growing up. Around fourth, fifth grade, I just kind of started to feel different. I didn't really get along with very many kids in school, and I went to the doctors, and they diagnosed me with manic depression, and they kind of just said, this is, you're going to have to take a pill for the rest of your life to be happy. That's kind of what it was for me as a child then. A little bit later on in sixth grade, I found wrestling. That was my outlet. That's what I excelled in. And I ran with that. And when I wrestled, I didn't have to think about myself. I could just focus on the talent that God gave me. And through that, it was healthy for me. It was great. But I found my identity in wrestling. And I didn't really know who I was. And I started drinking and messing around when I was 15. I came into school and into high school, and I was varsity right away. And the high schoolers took me aside, seniors, and they said, you know, we want to take you to parties. I started drinking, started to smoke a little bit, and eventually I got into pills. And my depression and my anxiety got so bad at that point, I couldn't go to school without taking a pill. And eventually, that addiction led me to get removed out of school. I was kicked out. My senior year, I had scholarships to Division II, Division III colleges for wrestling, and it was kind of all gone just like that because of the drug addiction I was bound in. After that, my life completely spiraled downward. I started to hang out with worse crowds. I started to get into harder drugs. Eventually, it got to the point where I was homeless on the streets. And even though I was homeless on the streets, my family continued to pray for me. They continued to be there for me throughout the entire thing, but they couldn't enable me anymore. And so I said, okay. And I was homeless on the streets for about 3 years, running, living with different people, ODing. Eventually, my drug use got to the point where I was overdosing every single week. I remember the paramedics waking me up, bringing me back, and they'd say, man, your heartbeat was down to 2 beats per minute. Your heartbeat was down to 3 beats per minute. When are you going to stop doing what you're doing? When are you going to open your eyes? And I know God was speaking to me through those paramedics. And throughout my drug use, I'd be sitting there, and I'd be looking at the people I was around, and I just knew that wasn't, this isn't what God wants. I tried secular programs over and over and over. Months at a time, 2 months at a time. I tried going to different states, and I couldn't find what I was looking for, because what I was looking for is in Jesus Christ. It wasn't in this world. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find my happiness and my cure from anxiety in beyond this world of what I can see. The only peace that I've ever found is found in Jesus Christ. I encountered the love of Jesus when I came to Teen Challenge, and it radically transformed me. He took a hold of me, and he started to change the desires of my heart. I looked around the room when I got there, and I saw people putting their hands in the air, and I saw the freedom. And there's freedom in Jesus Christ today. If there's one thing I could tell you guys today, that's one thing that I found is freedom in Jesus. You don't have to live in the bondage. And it's just not about drug addiction. It's about anything you're struggling with. I encountered the love of Jesus, and my heart today is to just share it with others. I just want to share Jesus with everyone. I want to go into the mission field, and I want to go proclaim the name of Jesus and tell people about what he did for me and what he can do for you. He says that he's the way to abundant life, and he told me the only way that you can receive the abundant life is by giving yours away. And that's what I do every day. Die to the flesh. So yeah, that's pretty much what he's done in my life, and that's kind of intense, but you know, he's just amazing. He's awesome, and he's alive today. He's a healer. He's the Prince of Peace. If you're looking for peace, he can give you the peace today that you need. A verse I stand on is, he made my mouth into a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. Isaiah 49:2. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, the question is, how many pills does Joe take today to deal with your anxiety and all the manic depression? I mean, surely you're just a mess, aren't you? Oh, no, no, none, zero. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's no mistake or coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I mean, I do the, like in the God coincidences, you know, but not. But Joe is actually on the front cover in our newsletter here. He's the one that's praying over homeless people. He's the one praying over the homeless people in Elkhart that they'd find freedom. Praise God. Really quick, I want to honor your time, and I know there's workers and others in the church. I just have to share. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. And much like Joe, I always understand Joe a lot. My dad was a pastor, and my dad was a missionary, and I had a revelation of deception is what I had, because God, the devil would always tell me that if I gave my life to Christ fully surrendered, I'd be like a puppet on a string. I wouldn't be free. I wouldn't be able to do what I wanted to do. And I had emotional things that I was dealing with and didn't know how to. And unfortunately, drugs are effective. Listen to what I'm saying, in allowing a person to forget about how they feel. You stop feeling for a while. Now, it's not a good game plan for life, right? A lot more destruction comes in once you give your life over to a substance. But momentarily, it offers a release, an ability to forget. But where there's no revelation, and who is it that we need revealed to us, folks? Jesus. Because see, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't know what to allow in and what to restrain yourself from. See, our hope right now isn't in who's going to be elected in November. Amen? Amen? If that's your hope, we need to talk afterwards right down here. I mean it. That is not our hope. Our hope isn't even in more drug awareness classes, although those can be helpful to some degree. Listen, these men, or myself included, we didn't get into drugs because we didn't know that they were bad for us. Okay, that wasn't the reason we just stumbled in. Whoops, didn't see that one coming, now I'm an addict. No. What happens is that we didn't care. And you actually told me that if I do this, I'll die? Amen, sign me up. Do you understand how messed up that is? It's not that we need more legislature, although that could help. I actually had the opportunity of trying to, our North Central Indiana Teen Challenge just had our congresswoman and a couple of our staff members have the ability, the privilege of being able to share, and they're actually filming sort of a documentary, if you will, to try to get some changes from the government. In legislature to help, because there's a definite correlation between opioids and the spike in heroin abuse. There's no doubt about it, and doctors are prescribing at will, and kids are falling into it, and they're making these bad choices, and yada, yada. So we need some legislature, but that is not our hope, right? People don't care. and they're trying to cover up hurts and pains. They're trying to deal with the traumas of a lost parent, of mom coming home at 4 a.m, of being labeled damaged for life. How do you deal with that? Right on your forehead, damaged for life. You're sorry, you're damaged goods. You'll always be depressed. You'll always be anxious. You'll always be this. Sorry, here, just take this pill. Maybe you can cope. How do people deal with that? Divorce. I want to be sensitive. I know many of you have been through it, and I'm sorry. Do you understand what that does to children who blame themselves and don't know, and they're caught up between mommy and daddy, and they don't know? Many of our men here have come from split families, broken homes. It's part of the trauma. And all of a sudden, they come across something and they go, hey, this doesn't make me feel this way anymore. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse are rampant in our society today. And people hate the way they feel when they're victims of this. And you're telling me that I can take something and not feel this way anymore? Sign me up. Do you get what I'm saying? Our hope needs to be in Jesus Christ. But listen what I'm saying real close to you, church. I'm going to get really up close and personal. Is that okay? Can I lean in on you a little bit? Can I crowd you? It's called stepping on toes. I understand we all have identified who's our hope today. Where is Jesus? Where? Okay, here? You mean in the church? Okay. Because listen, Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But see, unfortunately, a lost person can't find their way into here on Sunday morning. They're not finding their way in here. You might get occasional guys stumble in. You might get an occasional one to get lost and find their way here. But the people that we're trying to reach are not in here. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:17. In John 14:17, he says this. He makes this declaration. He says that he's going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. This is Jesus in his parting words. And he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But listen to this declaration he makes to you and I. If you profess Jesus Christ, if you profess Jesus Christ, this is a declaration for you from Jesus himself. He says, but you know him. But you know him. They don't. The lost don't. But you do. For he dwells with you and will be in you. And he says, I'm the life. John 10:10, right? Says the thief comes not but except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. The truth can set us free. The truth can set a person free. But the reality is, church, if we're sitting here waiting for them to come here, they're going to keep overdosing by the droves every day and perish into a place of a non-existent relationship. Once a body takes its last breath, it is too late. And the reason I'm here, or we're here this morning, is because your pastor is tired of going to funerals. And he's saying, is there a way that we can do something on the front end? Awareness. The hope is found right here. The hope for LaPorte is found right here. The hope for LaPorte County is found right here. I want you to take your finger, if you would, and point it at yourself right now. I want you to repeat after me. I am the hope of this city. Don't get a big head. We know it ain't you. Who is it? Where is Jesus?
We could have rephrased it, Jesus in me. We already know that. I know that apart from Christ, we're nothing. I am the hope. God wants to use you to go and to reach. Maybe put up our TV for a couple hours a day. Maybe 19 days is all it takes for somebody to go to the streets in La Porte and begin a teen challenge here. Huh? Maybe. How many more funerals do we have to read about? How many more obituaries do we have to go, man, that really stinks, you know? Before we go, God, maybe you're trying to do something in me. Guys, I want to thank you. I thank you for letting me encroach and lean upon you a little bit and put that, share that burden. It's not the pastor's burden. It is, but it's not only his burden, right? And I appreciate this church for opening up your doors to us. Thanks for letting me go a little long. Thank you for letting me share that there's hope in Jesus Christ for any person who has ever, ever struggled with an addiction. Guys, we hope to see you again in the future. You're always welcome. If you're in the Elkhart area, please drop in on us, see us, hang out with us a little bit. There's open chapels. I know there's cars that come that way from here at times. We just had one there this last Friday, and we saw two men complete the ministry and move into the transition into the reentry part. And guys, I want to thank you. Let's keep praying for La Porte. Let's see what God wants to do. God was speaking to me on my way here this morning about some things, and I'll talk to your pastors later. Amen? But let's see how we can use you guys. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, thank you.
Two things really quick, and we'll pray us out of here. One thing, as you leave, certainly you can come forward and hug these guys, encourage them, do what you want to do. There's baskets up here also that if you want to drop in a love offering for these guys, that would be great. Their ministry is critical to our community. If it's not something you can do today and you want to drop off later to the church, we have a connection with them to get it to them. So just let us know with that. But let's close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for these beautiful men. Father, the strength it takes for these guys, for any one of us to surrender, to submit, the bravery, the courage it takes to walk in those doors and to seek help, to admit that you need help. Father, I applaud each one of these gentlemen. And I pray that you give them strength, pray that you give them courage and discernment and a lifelong journey with you. Father, allow us to partner with them and with our communities in any way we can to make a difference for your kingdom, for your glory, and to set people free through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.